I'm very sorry, I didn't bring peanut butter for everybody. When you graduate to sixth grade, then I'll bring you some peanut butter as well. But I do have barbecue for you. So good news, after church, we'll go downstairs and we'll have barbecue together, and it's gonna be a big party. We'll continue to celebrate our time together. As Miriam highlighted for us, today is Pentecost, and so we're gonna look at kind of that traditional Pentecost scripture in the book of Acts. But before we read scripture, let's go to God in prayer. Pray for the Spirit to illumine the scripture. Holy God, we do pray that you would be here with us this morning. We are so grateful for this opportunity to be here, and we pray that you would indeed reveal yourself to us, Lord, that the Spirit would blow through this place in a way that is real and tangible. God, that we would feel your presence here. So be with us in the reading and the hearing and the proclamation of your word. God, that indeed this encounter with you would be so powerful. We cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So we're gonna look at the book of Acts in the second chapter. I'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 13, and I would invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speak about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in the family tree of holidays, Pentecost just doesn't get the same equal recognition and celebration as its religious siblings, Christmas and Easter. You're probably not having a big Pentecost family gathering today. No one has any classic Pentecost recipes. You probably didn't get any new Pentecost clothes. But I mean, if we really love Jesus, maybe we should get new clothes. We'll talk, Scott. Anyway, and if you think about, too, kind of the secular side of the family tree, Pentecost isn't as fun as Halloween or Cinco de Mayo. I don't think that the world gets real hyped about Pentecost. Probably because the world doesn't really understand what is Pentecost. And honestly, I'm not sure we understand what is Pentecost. Why would we celebrate Pentecost? If you grew up anything like I did, you were in a church that didn't really even acknowledge Pentecost. The only time I can remember growing up our church acknowledging Pentecost was the year that I had a Sunday school teacher who came from a more charismatic background than our church was. And I remember she gathered us all in a circle and she said, "I'm gonna go around the circle and tap you on the head. And when I tap you on the head, you need to start speaking in tongues." Well, we were a little bit concerned because we didn't know how to speak in tongues. And she said, "No worry, just speak in gibberish." And somehow, I'm pretty sure she managed to offend the people that do speak in tongues and the people that don't speak in tongues. Everybody was offended, and 2 weeks later, we had a new Sunday school teacher. We know the world doesn't do Pentecost, but the question is, does the church do Pentecost? And if we do, why do we do Pentecost? What is it we are really celebrating on a day like today? So I want to look at our scripture for that, and I want to tell you what happens just before the passage that we read this morning, just at the end of chapter 1. Now, you'll remember that Jesus has been resurrected, and he's been hanging out with all of his friends and doing all of the things, and then he says, it's almost time for me to leave, but I am sending you an advocate. And so I need you to gather here and wait and pray. And so they do. The disciples have gathered. They are waiting and they're praying. It says that the women join them and they're devout. The scripture tells us they are devout in their prayers. And I don't know if they got tired of the praying or the praying reminded them that they had some church business to do. But Peter says, wait a minute, y'all. Remember, Jesus said there's supposed to be 12 disciples. And after the whole unfortunate incident with Judas and the betrayal, we're down to 11. We need to do some church business. And so they have a leadership team meeting, and they elect member number 12. Now, here's the thing. Member number 12, his name is Matthias, and you're thinking, I don't really remember hearing anything about Matthias. That's because this is it. We'll never hear about Matthias ever again. This is his big moment in Scripture. But the disciples have gathered together, and they think there is important church work that needs to be done, and so they are gathering to do this important church work. Now, at the same time that this is happening, all around them in the community, devout Jews from all over the place, you saw that big list, all over the place have gathered for the feast or the festival of Pentecost. Now, for the Jewish people, the Pentecost is one of the three big festivals. There's the Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, and Pentecost. So all these people have come to town to celebrate. They've come to recognize that which is important to them, that which is important in their lives, but also there's a party for this. So my point is then that everyone in our passage, as we go into chapter 2, everyone is doing something that's good and important. Everyone is doing something that God called them to do, something God asked them to do. They're praying, they're waiting, they're doing church business, or they're gathering together for that which is important for the rhythm of their faith. So they're all doing what God wants them to do until we get to the beginning of chapter 2, and there is a violent interruption. There's wind and there's fire, and everyone's speaking at the same time. It's complete chaos. The Holy Spirit has entered the scene and is holding nothing back. Everyone is interrupted. The church business is interrupted. The party outside is interrupted. Everything that's happening, the good and important things that have happened, they have all been forced to come to a stop because the Holy Spirit will not be ignored. And so as we think about then, what does it mean that the church is being born here, right? That what does it mean to be the church? What are we paying attention to? What we're paying attention to is the fact that when the Holy Spirit shows up, it is an absolute interruption. That everyone who is present in our scripture this morning cannot help but acknowledge that God is doing something in their midst. It means then, in order for us to be the church, that we have to let go, we have to be willing to let go of those things that we are certain that we are supposed to be doing and listen to what God's doing in our midst so that we too can join in that work. The Holy Spirit will not be ignored. So what does that mean for Kairos? What does that mean for us here at Kairos? What does it look like for us to be humble and vulnerable and willing to be interrupted? How are our eyes attuned to the wind and the fire and the voices around us? What are we seeing? What are we hearing? What is God doing that is new and different? How is God calling us to pay attention to what's going on in Sandy Springs and the West Side and Roswell? We know they need help in Roswell. If we are to be the kind of church that God's calling us to be, we have to turn our eyes to the community that we've been called to and acknowledge that God's at work and then faithfully join in to the work that God is doing. A couple of weeks ago, Miriam and I attended an interfaith clergy breakfast that the mayor of Sandy Springs was hosting. There were clergy from all sorts of churches and synagogues there. There were rabbis in their kippots. There was Episcopalians in their collars, and there were the non-denom guys in their skinny jeans and V-necks. It was a very mixed group. But the mayor was speaking to us and was giving us some really startling statistics about Sandy Springs. He said that on average, every week, someone in Sandy Springs dies by suicide, and that there are 1 to 3 overdoses a week. The Sandy Springs Police Department fields more calls on these issues than they do on any other issue or crime. He reminded us, the mayor reminded us, that people who have community, that people who have a support are less likely to find themselves as one of these statistics. And he called these people of faith all over Sandy Springs. He called us to pay attention then to what's going on in the community, to be thoughtful and prayerful and join in the work that needs to be done in our community. And that part of that work then is to create those safe places, to create home for the people in our midst. And what's more, then, as we as a church think about what's going on around us and how we participate in that work, then we ask really important questions about what does it look like to continue to partner with Sandy Springs Mission and the Community Assistance Center and the Friends of Refugees to join in the work of God. How are we working for the vulnerable people in Sandy Springs and our surrounding communities? God has placed us in a particular place, in a particular time, and called us to be a faithful church, listening and paying attention to the Holy Spirit as it blows through. Kelly Brown Douglas is an Episcopal priest, is currently serving as the president of the Episcopal Divinity School. And she says, Pentecost affirms that God's Spirit is ever present and active in the midst of human suffering and struggle. It inspires us to be agents of change, to confront systems of oppression, and to work toward the realization of God's kingdom of justice and peace. We are called to be about the work that the Spirit is doing. And what I want you to know, as a family of Kairos, what I want you to know is that starting in August, we're going to begin a visioning and strategic planning process. We're going to pay attention to what the Spirit is doing and what the Spirit is calling us to do next. We're going to ask the question, what's it time for Kairos? And I want you to be part of that. I want to know what God is doing in your life and how God is calling you at Kairos. We need everybody to be a part of this. We need people to be committed to praying and praying to discern what God's calling us to do next. We need to be committed to financial generosity so that we can lean in and afford to do these things that God's calling us to do. We need to be gathering together to worship and worshiping together, calling on the Holy Spirit to be present, to be interrupting us in our lives and telling us where it is that we're going next. We're going to do this together. As a family of faith, what is the Spirit calling us to do as a Kairos family? But it's a little bit scary, it's a little intimidating, because we don't know necessarily where we're going and what we're doing. So here's what I don't want you to miss from the scripture. So we read the part about the Holy Spirit blowing through this massive interruption, this holy chaos that takes over everything that's going on. And we ended our story at the part where the people are saying, what in the world is going on? This is crazy. Clearly everyone is drunk. What's hysterical is that the next line is going to be Peter saying, they're not drunk, it's only 9 a.m. We don't serve mimosas at this church, I guess. And so then Peter launches into this sermon. Peter, having witnessed the Spirit tearing through the streets, Peter, having seen with his own eyes and heard with his own ears the fantastic work of the Spirit, Peter stands and addresses all of these people who have gathered together in Jerusalem. And he preaches, and he tells them that the Holy Spirit has come, that this violent interruption, this holy chaos, is the Holy Spirit being poured out on all people. Everybody is now called to be part of this magnificent work that the Holy Spirit is doing. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, big things happen. As Peter invites them to know God and be part of the faith community, encourages them to encourage one another daily to follow along in the way of Jesus, the scripture tells us that 3,000 people are baptized that day. Not because Peter preached a magnificent sermon, but because when the Holy Spirit is doing something, big things happen. The Holy Spirit will not be ignored. This is what happens when the Spirit is at work. When we attend to these interruptions in our lives and acknowledge the great things that the Holy Spirit is doing, it's why today I decided to wear the shoes that you all made me last month at the installation. Because just about 9 months ago in my own life, I was doing what I was positive God was asking me to do. But then there was this holy interruption. A little bit of chaos in my house as God and the Spirit and you worked in a new way. And now, literally every Sunday morning, I wake up amazed and overwhelmed that we all get to be together and worship together. The Holy Spirit does big things. And this place has a history of paying attention to the Holy Spirit and the big things that the Holy Spirit does. It's how we got here in the first place, because there was a group of people that gathered together in a living room to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. It's how we got to Sandy Springs, because you all were paying attention and praying to the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's why we have a mission baseball team. It's why we have people teaching English classes at CAC. It's why there's a team of people getting ready to go to Costa Rica. It's why a year and a half ago, the leadership team said we need to take a financial risk and hire a youth pastor for Kairos Church. And here we are 18 months later, and the youth ministry has tripled at Kairos. Because we pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And those interruptions, the interruptions that feel very life-shattering at the time, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit coming in to do big things, and that's what Pentecost is. Calling our attention to the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit refusing to be ignored. And we're committed to doing that. Kairos is committed to doing that. And that's why today we're going to ordain and install our elders on the leadership team. You all, working through a committee and then approving it in a meeting, you all chose Casey and Ben and Ashlyn and Clark to be intentional, to join in the leadership team, to be intentional about praying for this place and this community, to have their eyes open about what God's doing and what God's calling us to do next, to lead us in being open to the interruption of the Spirit and to respond to it, to expect big things. To get excited about what God is doing here. So I'm going to invite Casey and Ben and Clark to come up. We're going to stand down here. Ashlyn, who you also have chosen to be on the leadership team, was unable to be with us, so we're going to do this again when Ashlyn is back in town. But we're going to celebrate today. You'll remember just several months ago, we had you all spent time praying and nominating people to serve on the leadership team. And then we had a congregational meeting, and you elected these four to do that. They went through some classes. They went to a leadership team. They went to a budget meeting. It's official now. They did all the things. And so now we're going to celebrate as they officially enter onto the leadership team. And this is an important thing that we do as part of our church, because we believe that what they're doing is answering the call that the Holy Spirit has placed in their lives, and you're going to affirm that today, and we're going to be intentional about that. I'm going to invite David Isler to come up, and he's going to read scripture for us.
Morning. This is a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. It is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
So Clark and Ben and Casey, then I would ask you these questions as an indication of your intention of service here. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what the Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by these confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and Spirit? Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Do you promise to further peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? And will you be a faithful elder of the leadership team, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
To the Kairos community, I'll ask these questions, affirming this call as well. Kairos, do we, the members of this church, accept Ben, Casey, and Clark as elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
We do.